with Charlie Cater on September 21st at his home. This is tape 7. And Charlie was going to talk about Judge Wolf. So go ahead, Charlie.
All right. So I'm in the office, quietly contemplating the foibles of the human race. And a man came in and told me he had a problem. He wanted a divorce. He didn't tell me why he wanted a divorce. And it was three visits later before he ever told me. And he finally did. He wanted a divorce because his wife had got pregnant. Now this sounds ridiculous, but his next statement was that he had been sterilized several years before, but his wife had got pregnant anyway. So he wanted a divorce for that reason. I don't recall why, but Judge Wolf was appointed to try that case in Union County, not Baker County. He was here when this happened. The lady in question had a lawyer from LeGrand, Mr. Carl Helm, Carl Gilbert Helm. And we tried the case, and the evidence that we had gathered together was overwhelming that this woman had done terrible wrong. So the case comes to the point where all the evidence is in, and now it's time for the attorneys to make whatever argument they wanted to make. I came first, and I started to put together a small argument, because it didn't take much in this obvious case. Before I could get started, even, then the unusual thing about this case took place. Judge Wolf took my argument away from me. I didn't say another word. And he spent the rest of quite a period of time strongly criticizing the girl, the man, me, oh no, criticizing Carl Helm, who merely represented a woman in the ordinary course of legal representation. Now, the reason that the judge did this, he went overboard and he sat there and he berated Carl Helm for at least half an hour. The only reason he had for doing that was that Carl had represented this woman who was caught in flagrant delicto. But there was more to it than that. The real reason was Judge Wolf, perhaps justifiably, he had in his youth and early manhood had such experiences that he had acquired an unreasoning respect for womanhood. Therefore, when this woman was caught doing bad things and had a lawyer that represented her, all of the history of Judge Wolf in his mind about women and their place in society and their almost almost religious purity came out, and he spent at least half an hour berating Helm.
Okay, what?
That's
Charlie,
the end of that story.
Okay, Charlie, I have a question. What were the grounds? This was before no-fault divorce, and you had to prove someone had committed an offense?
She admitted it. She couldn't get out of it.
Okay, but this was the grounds for divorce back then. It had to be contested in court.
Oh, there were any kind of grounds. There were lots of grounds. There was no... I don't know if it was no fault or any fault or whatever. But I do know what happened, and that I've described.
Okay. You have a second case.
Yes. Another time, I was in the courtroom in Baker, just sitting and waiting till it was my turn to do whatever I came there to do. And there were the courtroom was full of people. I didn't know what they were there for, but I soon found out, because the judge was Judge Wolf again, and he said, "Now we're going to take care of this. You folks are all signed a complaint and want to dissolve your marriages." Yes. "Have you all read?" Now he proceeded to handle this on a group basis. Not one individual, not one. All of the people are there. He asked a question. "Now you have all signed a complaint in your divorce case." "Yes." "Have you all read those?" "Yes." "Are those statements all true?" "Yes." "Well then, we'll grant you all divorces, and as soon as the papers or decree is presented to me, I will sign the whole bunch." That's a fact. He did it.
This was the same Judge Wolf that went back and forth between LeGrand
and
Baker.
Well, he didn't go back and forth any more than any other judge did.
This
they
was
all
common.
Traded back and forth. They had to.
Were they? What
conflicts.
Was the reason?
Conflicts of things. Conflicts. Let's see now.
Was there a shortage of judges?
No.
In Eastern Oregon?
No, it's just the way things worked out. For instance, when we had the Big Chief case, we got a judge from over at Bend. And the judge that was here couldn't sit because he had been in his sheep business. Judge Wolf, not Wolf, Judge Green. He had been in the sheep business himself. So he disqualified himself. And we got this judge from Baker. No, Ben.
Okay.
Oh, now, hold on a minute. Stop that thing and just see if I can think of something else here.
I had a question about the last case with Judge Wolf. The mass divorce that he granted. Was that ever done by any other judge around this area that you
not
know of?
Not that I know of.
Were divorces very common at that time?
Oh, yes.
They were?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so you handled quite a few divorce cases?
I sure did.
Okay, you also mentioned you handling... cases where the people were not married, but you got a divorce. Could you tell
Here
me about
those?
Okay, tell me about that one.
This involves a man that was in a business in Portland, and he had a girlfriend. He retired from his business. He had a friend or friends here, and I was one of them. And he came up here with his ostensible wife. It wasn't his wife. they were simply living together without benefit of clergy. But he was an old-fashioned person, and he had strong feelings about that sort of arrangement. He came to my office, and he told me that they weren't married, but that they were splitting up, and he wanted a divorce. He wanted a divorce to make the thing right, especially for his girlfriend. He wanted to protect her reputation. So, I did it. I went ahead and I got a divorce for that man from that woman, and they were not married.
Do you remember who the judge was?
No, I do not. It probably was Green.
Do you know if it was common for people to live together without marriage in this community?
Oh, it wasn't common, but it did happen.
Okay.
Sure. Oh, let's see. Now then, that's one. They weren't married, and I got a divorce for them. Then another situation arose, and a man, happened to be a railroader, and he'd married, or he thought he married this woman, and she was a pretty low-class person, I can assure you. I knew her well for years. Well, so in the course of this, I got curious about something that he had told me, and I don't remember what it was, but it indicated he had been married before, and I asked him where he got a divorce from that first wife. He couldn't tell me. He didn't know. But he did tell me the name and the telephone number of a son that lived in Idaho. So I called up the son and told him who I was and that I represented his father in this divorce matter and that I needed information about the prior marriage of this man to some other woman. So he gave me her telephone number, his mother's telephone number. So I called it, and I told her that I represented this man and that I needed information about when and where she and this man had been divorced. There was a long silence before she answered. Then she did. She said, "We were never divorced." So you see, when he hitched up with the one that I was dealing with, he wasn't married. He was still married to another woman. So, nevertheless, we went ahead and tried the case. And in the course of it, I think I ran this past you before, because it seemed to me that the lawyer on the other side made a serious tactical mistake. And my client had testified that one of the reasons he wanted a divorce from this woman was simply because he had walked down the alley behind the house they occupied, looked through the window, and saw her in bed with a sheep herder. Now, how in the hell he knew it was a sheep herder, I never found out. And I didn't even ask. But he testified that he had seen this. So then it became Mr. Burley's. Another lawyer, Sid Burley of LeGrand, to ask his question. And he made a bad mistake. He said, now your husband has said that he walked up the alley and looked through the window of your house and saw you and in bed with a sheepherder. And then the lawyer said, tell us about that, or what happened? And some dumb, wide open question. And she answered. She was the one to answer. Well, she said, he couldn't have seen us. The window was frosted over, and he'd have had us stood on a box. She didn't deny that she was in bed with the sheepherder or anybody else. Well, the divorce was fairly ritual after that. Evidently there was two lawyers that represented her, and I think one of them was just as a courtesy to his partner to help out at the end, and it was Bill Carey. So we took my rig and went over to their house, Bill Carey and me, and probably the husband and wife, and tried to assist them in dividing and moving their belongings. During every minute that we were engaged in this charitable enterprise, that woman cursed Bill and me unrelenting the whole time, until finally it got to my got my goat, and I said, now God damn it, you shut up or I'll get the cops over here and shut you up. So that was the end of that case.
Okay. I have a question. In your court cases like this, how did you find evidence? Did you use investigators to get evidence?
I did my own investigating.
You did your own?
All of it. I had a friend. All right, he started out as an enemy but he became a friend. And he offered to hire out to be my investigator. He wanted to work for me. He was fascinated by law business. He was a farmer.
Okay, was it fairly common for other lawyers to use investigators? And when did that start? I know it occurs now.
Well, I think that it wasn't uncommon to have the assistance of an investigator. But it wasn't very common either. Most people did it themselves. I did.
Most of the lawyers.
Yeah.
Was it common for the lawyers to go to the house of divorced people and help them move their furniture?
Very unusual.
Very unusual.
Very unusual. We just did it because of the complicated feelings and situations, and because Bill was a nice guy. He really was.
Okay. The question you raised about conflicts of interest among the lawyers or among the judges, like they were sheepmen, how common was that?
Oh, that wasn't uncommon at all.
What are the main reasons why where there were conflicts?
Well, the main reasons that I can think of was a couple of flocks of sheep, but that's all I can think of right now. And that's why they got Judge Hamilton over here from Bend, because Judge Green had been involved in the sheep business. But of course, he had also been involved in gambling. He was a pretty good poker player.
Did he have to recuse himself in gambling cases?
Oh, no.
No?
No way. You got a good point there. No. There weren't any prosecutions here for gambling that I can think of.
How about other prosecutions for prostitution? Anything related to those kinds of things?
Or, no.
Or contributing to the delinquency of a minor if with alcohol? You mentioned a case like that.
Well, there's only one case that I can remember contributing. It happened here in Union County, and I had nothing to do with the case. I just heard what I heard, another lawyer handled the thing, and he had talked to his client, this young man, discussed this charge against him, and the young man confessed to his lawyer that he had tried to do what they alleged, but he didn't make the grade. So I can't remember how the outcome. I know how. The lawyer realized that just as much as the young man confessed to would cause his conviction if it came before an impartial jury. So I don't know what he did about it, but I really never had any contact with it at all.
Okay. At this time, you practiced from 39 to 79.
Yeah.
At this time, were the judges elected to their offices?
Yes.
They were all of that time?
Yes.
How about the district attorneys?
Yes.
They were as well.
Yes.
Do you know any stories about different district attorneys through your practice?
No, but I know one about a judge before he was judge, Judge Brown. There was another woman who caused a considerable distress in the community in a dumb way, and she came to me and she said that her husband had disappeared. I knew, or thought I knew, what had happened, but as soon as I could I had a little talk with my friend the sheriff. Told him that this man is supposed to disappear. Well, he found him, and he found out that the man was a honest old farmer, and he found out enough about this woman to cause him to pick up and leave and hide out for a while. So we found out that that's the way it was. So she came to me and she wanted a divorce. And this is the sort of a situation where I asked Henry Hiss to join me in representing her. Sort of divide the responsibility, if you want to call it by that word. So we get in court, and she's wearing big, dark glasses. And Henry and I pretty well knew her reputation. And so we asked the necessary question. And it soon developed that she obviously wasn't married to the man that she was facing off in this divorce case. And furthermore, she had been divorced in this very same court from another man a short time before. So, she also claimed that she had a child by this farmer that had disappeared. By the way, right over here there's a big house. It's the biggest house in the neighborhood. And that's where this farmer finally lived. Him and his brother, both of them, as I recall. Henry and I realized that this woman was lying and that she was guilty of every wrong thing you could think of. So I don't remember how it came out, but we got shut of that. But that wasn't the end of her depredations in the community.
Okay.
And I don't know how it came about, but it was before Judge Broughton was judge, and I was in his office. This woman was there, another woman was there, and the question was this other woman the mother of the one that had caused us so much embarrassment in court? This no-account woman, whose name was Oliver, by the way, denied her own mother. In my presence, Judge, later to be Judge Broughton's presence, a worse woman than a, it'd be hard to find.
Was it?
I'm not through. Later, a man came to me, an old man, an old hand. He'd been here for a long, long time, and he talked to me. He wanted to tell me, and he wanted to ask me a question. He said that he'd been associating with this woman, Oliver, and he asked me if it was safe for him to marry her, or something like that. I said, no, by no means, don't do it. This is the only time that I know of when somebody is given information about a potential marriage partner and followed the advice. This old man followed my advice and he didn't do it. And he was grateful from then on, believe me.
Was this kind of behavior among women really frowned upon in this community during the time?
Oh, yes. Cheer. Marie Oliver was the only one, and that other one that I mentioned that was married to the railroader, those were the two that I can think of and nobody else.
What other ways would a woman like this be ostracized or dealt with in the community?
Well, I don't think ostracized is the right word. Marie Oliver brought about the death of a man, two of them, but one before I got here, and there was a fight over women, like in Lowell County the other day, and one man killed another one.
This was over the Oliver woman?
Yeah.
Were you involved in the case?
Huh?
Were you involved in the trying of the case?
No, it all happened about the time I got here or just before. Later, Marie Oliver killed somebody with a gun. And one of my fellow attorneys here represented her successfully. And I don't know enough about the case. And glad I don't.
She was found not guilty.
I think so.
Of that.
That was Gary
Susak?
Susak is representative. He practices in Portland now. But at that time he was here and he had a house right over here.
Were there any other really dramatic cases like this you remember involving murder or some kind of really serious offense? Or like something like bank robbery?
What?
Something like bank robbery.
No, I don't remember any.
Okay, because this was right after the Depression when you came here, right at the end of the Depression when you came to LeGrand.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was right after the end of it.
The old courthouse, the court was in the old courthouse when you first came.
Yeah.
When did the new courthouse in the Joseph Building, when did those...
I don't know.
...get started? Were you practicing then?
Yes.
But you don't remember... Do you remember the changes, how that change was done?
No.
From moving to the old, from the old courthouse to the new one?
No, except that I thought, and I still think, that they... misplaced or lost or traded off a set of federal reports of the Supreme Court of the United States. And I used to go there because I didn't have a set of those reports. I used to go to the library there to do research that I thought was necessary for me and my clients. It disappeared. I don't know where it is. I tried to find it and I couldn't.
I know when in the new courthouse, in the Joseph Building, they had a jail in there at one time. Was that true about the old courthouse?
What was the question? Something about jail?
The jail, yeah. Did they have a jail in the old courthouse?
Oh, yes.
What part of the building was it?
In the first floor.
First floor.
Yeah.
So they moved all of that over to the Joseph
building? No, they didn't. They built a separate jail. And it's just east of the old courthouse.
Okay.
Right next to it. Right there.
When was that building built?
A long time ago.
Was that built before the Joseph Building?
No, the Joseph Building was a hospital by the Catholic Sisters. And it was occupied for years. And then their competition with the new Grand Ronde Hospital, I'm guessing, got to be too much for them, and the sisters shut down the hospital there in the Joseph Building and eventually sold it back and forth till people invested in it. I think... I knew one or two of them. And then they got the brilliant idea they could use part of that as part of the courthouse, and they do now.
Mm-hmm. And they had a jail in there for a while.
Well, if they did, I didn't know it.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember any jail in the Joseph Building. I do remember a library, because I am a book man.
Okay, the legal library there.
Yeah. Yes, you bet.
Was it pretty common for the lawyers around here to use that legal library?
Oh, yes. Sure. Not everybody could afford the trouble and expense of certain reported cases, like the Supreme Court's reports.
Mm-hmm. Supreme Courts of Oregon or the U.S. Supreme Court?
U.S.
U.S. Supreme Court.
And of course, they all had Oregon reports of the Supreme Court in Oregon.
Okay.
And some of it lapsed over into the Court of Appeals.
So, do you remember when there's an agency in the other part of the Joseph Building, the Center for Human Development, a social service
agency?
Well,
they had several offices there. I don't know anything about them.
You don't know any about their transfer?
No, I don't.
Okay, we're going to take a break for a moment. Okay, ask you, Charlie, if you could describe the hunting you did. You were a marksman and a hunter, and you had a lot of hunting adventures with other people like Ned Brown, also Red Smith. Red Smith of Red's Horse Ranch, you knew him.
Higgins.
Okay. Could you tell me what kind of hunting you did and what kind of trips you went on with other men from Union County?
All right. I'll tell you about that Higgins trip. He had a, what is called a spike camp or a hunting camp, some 14 miles up the Minam River from the horse ranch. And without going into all the details, a lawyer friend of mine from Portland, Leland Hess, went up to his hunting camp to hunt elk. And we had horses. That's how we got up there. And that's how we covered the territory after we got up there. The first day, we didn't see anything or located any game. The next day, Leland and I rode down the river a little ways, and where it intersected with a place, a trail called the Rock Creek Trail. So we rode up the Rock Creek Trail a ways, and we hadn't gone very far before we saw tracks in the dirt and snow or whatever. So we discussed in a minute and decided it might not be a bad idea to sit down and wait for the elk to come by. So he picked out a place that suited him, and I did the same thing. We were maybe 100 yards apart, such a matter. And everything was going along just fine. And I looked up on the side of the mountain there, and here come a 5-point bull, a nice game animal. So I just kept quiet and waited, and he came down and got right in front of me out here. And then I did what I was accustomed to do, and I put a ball right through his lungs. He ran a little ways, and I could see him down there, and so I took another shot at him, and I damaged him considerable with those two shots. And so then Leland came over, and we got busy and gutted the animal, and then we rode back to camp, and when we finally reported to Red and his helpers, I told them where the bull was, and the next morning they got it and brought it out, and we got it, put it in the plane with our gear, and came back home, and that was the end of the hunting trip. There's more to it than that, but... Okay.
But you were hunting for meat or for a trophy? Or both?
What was I hunting for, baby?
Both!
Well, I hunted for the... both, she said.
What did it mean for to hunt for trophies for you?
Well, I don't understand the question. But you tell me again and I'll try.
What did it mean to hunt for a trophy? This was a 5-point elk?
Well, five points is a good antlered bull. 6 points is a majestic animal. 7 points is a great, great trophy. Rarely does anybody do harm to an elk any bigger than a 5-point. I've got a couple of them right out there. But I have a friend, and I think his picture is down in my gun room, with a magnificent 6 or 7 point bull. He is my favorite mechanic at Goss Motors. His name is Barber. And he killed that magnificent thing about 3 years ago.
What other kinds of hunting did you do?
Well, I told you a little about the jackrabbits. We also hunted deer.
Where did you hunt jackrabbits?
Well, over in Umatilla County is one place. There's another place down here in a valley, the name of which is near Brogan. You don't know Brogan.
Jordan Valley?
No, you said that before.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. I don't remember, but it's near Grogan.
It's southeast of here.
South. I would say more a little southwest, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Was it common for hunters from Union County to travel around for different kinds of game?
They didn't have far to go here.
Okay.
But they did. And we also traveled for fishing, like over to the Oregon coast where I had a boat. I took the boat with me and lost it over there and went out in the ocean and caught the salmon and brought them in. And I had always taken with me my canning equipment, so I canned the fish that I caught. In my family, the canners was me. My wife, Donna, would make pickles now and then, but I did all of the canning. Meat, vegetables, tomatoes, fish, name it, and that's what I did. I learned how to do that when I was younger. My mother was, all I had to do was watch what she did, and then I knew how to do it. We've got a new problem, though. Same thing. That plum tree out there is loaded. And we got to do something about that.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Did you hunt deer?
Deer?
Yeah.
Oh, you bet.
Where did you go deer hunting?
Oh, all around. That way, and that way.
You're talking about west, north, and east?
All around the valley.
All around the valley.
Everywhere, in every direction you can think of.
Were there ever any cases of people hunting on private property that came before the court or that you got involved in?
Well, I'm sure there were, but I didn't have anything to do with it. It just turned out I didn't have anything to do with it.
Okay. What are the rivers in Union County that you would fish in?
Well, the Grand Ronde, especially the lower Grand Ronde. I told you about this. I suggested you get down there and do it. I don't think you've done it yet.
The lower Grand Ronde from Minum to Rundawa?
No, it's below Rundawa. A little above and below Troy.
Okay.
And then also all the way from August through October, we would fish in the chutes for summer steelhead.
What would you fish for here in the Grand Ronde?
Summer steelhead.
Summer steelhead?
Yeah, they're getting ready to come up the river and be ready to spawn in February.
Would you can these fish?
Well, I can't every fish that I caught that we didn't eat right away. I still got some downstairs, I think.
Did you ever get into freezing fish?
Yes. But not much. Mostly can them. Except the one she catches. And that's she gives me fish. And she got a couple of them down in the freezer right now that she caught here 2 or 3 days ago.
Okay, do you remember when freezing fish became common among different fishermen?
No, I don't know. I do know that one of my friends was in the business of selling freezing equipment and freezers, and also to selling the food to freeze and preserve in the equipment that he sold.
Okay. The 5-point elk that you shot, did you have the head mounted?
No, I never had any of them mounted. Most of them have been stolen. They took them right out from under my nose here and carried them away. They got every single top grade mule deer antlered head that I had. I had a number of them. Stole a whole bunch.
Stolen by animals or stolen by people?
People.
People. Was that a pretty common problem?
I couldn't say. I do know that the antlers have value. But to whom, I don't really know that either. When I came,
okay. You also hunted squirrels and marmots?
Yes.
Okay. Was that pretty common?
Oh, yes. Yeah. A marmot is sometimes called a rock chuck. He lives in the rocks, holes in them, crevices in the rocks.
Were there ever any, in any way, were you ever related to hunting mountain lions?
No.
Or bears?
No.
In this area?
No.
Do you know people that were?
Oh, yes. I had friends that had packs of hounds. Not many, some. And they hunted cougar and I suppose bears too sometimes.
How did that practice go and what was it related to? Was it related to the sheep in the valley and the need to cut back on predators?
No.
Or was it a sport?
Sport. But recently they have tightened up the restrictions on hunting cougars, for example. And some people think that this has caused a dangerous increase in the numbers of such animals. While they're not ordinarily a kind of an animal that hunts down a man to kill him, sometimes they scare people pretty good. They don't hurt much, but they scare them.
You've never heard of any case where anybody's been injured?
Oh, yeah, I guess, but I can't think of any particular situation right now.
Was the both the cougar and bear hunting were for sport then, originally?
Yeah, it was. Mainly so they could exercise their hounds. They had a few people around that packs of hounds. The hound is trained to chase certain animals, and that's one of them. Cougars, panthers.
Okay, but that was changed by a state law in Oregon.
Yeah, they really changed it. And I have not paid any attention really to what the law is now.